Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the Hammer from the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, and I'm back at you with another episode of After the Whistle. And it's kind of a special edition, the series I'm doing, just to feature some of those guys, some legends of the game that are stepping away and moving on to moving on to the next phase, if you will, of their lives, stepping away from rugby in some capacity. And this week we have a special guest. I always say that everybody's special, but Cam Dolan is special in particular because we've had a really good relationship over the last couple of years and keep in contact. And he always has some great stories. And it's sometimes we even, you know, tip a glass to one another across the internet. So first of all, Cam Dolan, welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show.
All right, thanks for having me, Hammer.
No worries. It's all good. It's always a joy. I mean, hell, we spent half an hour killing time before just shooting the shit and talking about fishing, talking about dogs, talking about real life stuff like work and jobs and things like mm-hmm. that. And it's always a pleasure to sit down and have a chat. A friend of mine, John Cullen, used to say there are every rugby team has some dudes, and Cam Dolan is a dude, just a guys sit down, have a whiskey with, and just sit down, play some cards, have a good time, and enjoy a few laughs along the way. So for people that don't know, let me introduce Cam Dolan from Naples, Florida. Got to start playing rugby with the Naples Bears. And I'm interested, I got to ask after I'm done with the CV on this next one, but was involved in the first 15 at St. Edward's in Cheltenham in England. I got to ask how that process came about, which we'll get to in a moment. Of course, played at Life University. I've never held that against you. A two-time All-American CRC team in 2012 and 2013. A four-time first-team All-American at Life University. National champion in 2013. And then he got a start, got noticed when he was playing for, I think, the U-20s, if I'm not mistaken. And then jumped in with the Northampton Saints, the Cardiff Blues, MLR career with the San Diego Legion, the NOLA Gold, and of course, as I mentioned, USA 20s. He was a captain, went to a juniors, World Juniors Championship, and of course, we can't forget USA Eagle number 443 with 67 caps, tied for second on the list of U.S. Eagles with the most caps, only to it's Clevers first, and who are you tied with? Is that?
I think Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And Cam was his debutante match was against Fiji. So now that I'm out of breath, and we know that Cam is retired from rugby, so I'm going to raise a glass to you, my friend. It's a NOLA Gold glass.
I'll raise just some straight ginger ale, but I'll raise it regardless.
Well, we know. Well, I got to work too, but he's got to work really early, so he's playing it straight this evening. And we're going to be talking about what that involves here in a moment, but let's talk about this. Last time we connected was in real life, was when you were playing for the NOLA Gold and you guys were playing the Hounds here in Chicago. And at that time, a guy came up to you and said, "Hey man, I love you. I can't wait to watch you play for the USA Eagles. I can't wait to watch that run, you know, the July test window." And at that point you said, "Yeah, I'm done. That ain't happening," more or less. Right. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that that was going to be your last game as a professional rugby player. Right. So I got to ask you, did you know at that time that that was going to be your last game?
No, I thought the next week would have been, but I had a pretty serious neck injury in November of 2023 when we went to Spain, and took me out for half of 2024, and I was able to rehab it back and play all the way through until the Chicago game, and then I kind of re-injured it again, and it just wasn't right for the final game of the season at home. And you know, with necks or any like any injury that involves, you know, your spine, you don't want to push it. And you know, it just wasn't one of those things that, you know, I had done enough and I was content with my career that I didn't need anything else to feel fulfilled. My glass was full, in less words.
I gotta say, it's humbling hear you say that. Because I'm going to be honest with you, like the next week when the 23 came out and you weren't in it at any capacity, mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, they did Cam wrong. He deserved to go out last time. But to hear you say that and admit that, you know, hey, this is it. It's not worth, you know, risking my future over for this last game. And I've done a lot in my career. That's an amazing testament to the kind of character you are.
Really, yeah, is. And you know, after that initial neck injury, and I was able to rehab it back. During that rehab process, I went and saw a handful of specialists, and the recommendations was that I retire. And I just wasn't ready at the time. So, you know, that back half of the 24 season, and basically all of the 2025 season I was on borrowed time, anyways. To be quite honest with you, so. I accepted my fate. I was happy where I was. It's a shame that our season didn't go quite as planned. You know, that whole squad put in a lot of hard work. We thought we had the right recipe. And as things happen in sports, unfortunately, it just wasn't the results we wanted. But, you know, you live and you learn and you move on. You can't really dwell on the past. You look to the future and hopefully you're happy with the performance you put out.
Well, man, 67 caps and an amazing professional career, especially as a guy who's supported, loved, and followed the NOLA Gold since 2018. You absolutely have a ton to be proud of course, you know, from that 2019, well, with the 2018 season in San Diego, but, you know, as a NOLA Gold player in 2019, all the way up into this last year. A lot to be proud of, most certainly. And again, I can appreciate the grace to which you step away from the game. It's hard, man. It's hard to leave the game sometimes. I mean, you know, I went to the doc myself. He's like, "You got two bulging discs and you got two compressed nerves." And he goes, "Yeah, you know, you may need surgery at some point." And that, you know, anytime somebody said, "Oh, boys game," I was like, "Yeah, sign me up." But, you know, somebody said it the other day. I said, I can't do it. So, It's tough to come to grips with, but the fact that you're humble enough to be able to accept that and know that what you did was amazing. It's nothing short of amazing, an absolute legend. Let's talk about, you know, that process. Obviously injury played a role. Had it not been for the neck, we might be talking about a different path here, but that of course plays a role. So, at what point did you have that moment in which you said, you know, it's time to hang that up? Kind of at what point in the last year or 2 years or whatever you started to think about that process?
I kind of had a thought about it going into the 2025 season, but I was really enjoying preseason and playing and practicing and the camaraderie with the fellas. But, you know, about week six or seven, you know, what used to be, you know, you play a game on Saturday night, Monday you're still a little bit stiff, but by Tuesday morning you're all good. That was no longer. My battery's about to die on my computer, sorry. That was no longer. So I was it was Wednesday, even Thursday, so I had to I had to make that hard decision, conversations with my wife, and and that's what I came up with. And, you know, I had a good conversation with Scott and good conversation with management and coaches here. So, like you said, everyone has to call it a day at some point. And I had a good 13-year professional career, a good college career. And I was happy with my decision.
100%. So you kind of mentioned it. Obviously, you had conversations with Al and your wife. Who else did, and not necessarily conversations about, okay, I think it's time to hang it up. I'm looking at this. How can we do this the right way with, you know, coaches and management and Scott Lawrence and things like that. But I'm saying, who else did you lean upon to give you some support and guidance in that process? It was just Ellen, or are you pretty self-sustaining?
I talked to my dad a bit. Talked to Fitzy, Ryan Fitzgerald. But ultimately, I asked a few people, and some retired guys of when they knew they were done. And at the end of the day, though, the decision has to come down to you. You can't rely on others' opinions. And I still love the game. I still watch highlights, weekly. Still watch games. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Sometimes it's almost just as much fun now to be able to sit back. Take stock in the career that you've had and, be able to watch the game with that kind of zoomed out approach, right? And just be able to enjoy the game.
I still stress watching it, and I still, I still armchair critic from my couch, but it's nice to wake up the next morning and my body doesn't kill.
feel like getting out of bed and walking the dogs for, around Algiers Point, right?
Ain't that the truth?
So looking back at your career, what is, and I'm going to hear me out here. What is one experience or memory that resonates for you from three points in your career? Hold on. Amateur. So what's an amateur, like a memory from that amateur years, right? From the professional years and from representative international rugby. So I'm asking for kind of three things.
Amateur would be national championship with Life. My last college game, winning that Division I national championship.
It's a hell of a way to go out.
professional. I'd say a big one for us was when I was with Cardiff and we beat Munster at home. I think it was like the first time in 8 years they beat Munster at home. So that was pretty big. And then international's got to be – first cap's always special, but that's kind of cliche. It's got to be Scotland at home and Houston.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, fans. I think we got it right here. There it is. from that – right there, that picture.
There it is. That is the one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that was a special one. Whenever you not mm-hmm. unexpected, but when you put up a fight, when you're able to sustain that kind of momentum throughout the game for 80 minutes, mm-hmm. and have success against a tier one like Scotland, it's obviously a point of celebration. So those are some pretty good memories that you can chalk up to your career. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I got it. With that in mind, what's one piece of advice you would give your 18-year-old self? If you right now, Cam Dolan, sitting, taking stock of his career, you're going to send a little message, send it back in time, and you're going to send it back to your younger self early in your career.
I don't think I would change much. Enjoy every moment of it because everyone says, oh, time flies. And it's when you're in it, it feels like it's forever. But when it's done, you're like, man, that was 13 years of professional rugby. That's a long time. But I'd say that just enjoy the small things more. You know, the travel days, the preseason suck, the sore body the day after a game, and actually enjoy those little things rather than be like, oh man, I'm sore today. This sucks. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, working in high school, I come in contact with kids that are looking to play beyond high school, whether it's D3 college, D2, D1, whatever. And one of the common things that I come away when I talk to them that I say is, enjoy the grind. If you don't enjoy the grind, all the things you mentioned, right? Being on the buses when you're playing for Life University, traveling all the way, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours. Flying on planes, you know, sitting in airports, hanging out with the boys, you know, before and after training, getting that Thursday night, you know, sitting down. And I know you were a big card player, you and Howie and Bailey and some of those guys back.
Everyone, yeah.
You know, enjoying those little bits and moments, because that grind is what it's all about. That's where you really make you build the relationships and build the camaraderie and build the friendships that last well beyond, you know, being on the field. So that's exactly. Phenomenal advice. So I got to ask you then, all that being considered, do you miss being a professional athlete yet?
I think I'll always miss it. You know, it's my first true love. I'll miss it. I miss the locker room stuff. I'll miss the wins. I'll miss the losses. You know, the traveling. But fortunately, I was able to take a lot of what I learned in rugby, and I'm able to translate that now into my new career with just goal setting and the competition part of things, and just being able to work under pressure.
Don't give too much of this up, because I'm going right there with in another question or two.
All right.
What do you miss most? You mentioned a lot of things, but what's the one thing that you wish could carry over into life off the pitch?
The locker room. The day in, day out banter, and you know, setting a goal with such a large group of individuals to you know, kind of work towards day in and day out, whether it's a weekly goal of what you want to accomplish against the team you're playing or a seasonal goal.
Okay. I like that. And that kind of leads to this next question then. For those that don't know, in the new phase, and I'm going to put this back up here again real quick. In this new phase, as the sports medicine sales rep for Stryker, how has professional rugby prepared or influenced you for this role? And you kind of mentioned it before, but kind of take a little deeper dive into some of the things that have really resonated. You've been able to translate right over into this new phase of your life.
So, I mean, you're in the operating room, you know, there's a goal, you know, there's a goal in front of you, and that goal is to fix whatever is wrong with the patient. And you've got the surgeon, you've got the first assist, you've got the scrub tech, you've got, you know, other nurses in the room, and you've all got to work together to achieve that goal. You're not just on your own. You're not, you know, just and there's nothing wrong with, but like, you're not in a, you know, just on your computer at home making marketing material, or you know, if you're an accountant, it's you know, you're in a team setting, and you know, in a pressure situation, things can go wrong, and you've got to be able to think on the spot to be able to fix them. Luckily, I haven't witnessed anything go wrong, but you know, things do go wrong.
Okay. I like it. So, you know, in your new role, why don't you tell everybody, for those that don't know, as a medical sales rep, like, what does that entail?
So, basically, you know, you talk to different orthopedic surgeons, and, you know, you try to sell them your material, your products, and then you're in the operating room with those products, and you know, you're kind of walking them through the process of it, whether it's a knotless anchor or whether the doctor wants to tie knots with different sutures, you know, and there's kind of a device or product for each individual thing, whether they need a meniscal repair or they need a rotator cuff repair. And you're in there, you know, walking them through it while, you know, they're doing the surgery itself.
Gotcha. So we talked a little bit about this off air before we went to recording, but I think this is a relevant question, given what you're talking about, given what your career professionally has been up to this point. But having been a professional athlete for 13 or 16 plus years, whatever time that is, does that carry a bit of cachet with doctors and with other people in the medical, you know, medical sales world?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it does to an extent. I've got an interesting story.
Okay.
Interesting story.
You're not going to violate any HIPAA laws, are you?
No. I've got an interesting story, and I think that probably plays into it a bit, just at least you get your foot in the door. But at the end of the day, you still got to know your product, and you still got to be able to execute when the time calls for it. You got to be able to converse with surgeons as well. You've got to be personable, and you've got to be a team player.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this. How did this role come about? Because I know at one time you were looking at commercial real estate.
You know, yeah. I talked to an ex USA player who put my name forward to the regional manager here in the Mississippi Delta region.
Gotcha. So again, those good connections in rugby kind of help out. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of rugby, man. We're a small community here in the United States, and everybody, you're like almost like, you're one person removed from knowing somebody else from knowing a person in the rugby world, right? And and it's great having those connections and to be able to use those as your strength. So obviously you have a new role. So far, what have you enjoyed most about it?
I think the learning aspect of it, you know, it's so new for me and so different from what I've been used to basically all of my adulthood. Really embracing the learning aspect of it and just, you know, the different anatomy and, you know, the different products we offer for each individual surgery as well.
All right. So Cam, I got to ask you, you know, working for Stryker Medical, obviously you're loving what you're doing now. You've made a nice transition into the next phase of your life. What are you enjoying about life after rugby? What do you enjoy the most?
Not being sore. And free Fridays and Saturday mornings. No.
There you go.
No, honestly, I think it is. I think it's like the freedom to that freedom for the weekends, where, you know, most people are real busy during the week, which we were too. But, you know, Saturday was our big work day of the week, and you know, you had to sacrifice some things in life and miss out on them, but. Yeah, just having that little bit of freedom there, and knowing that I'm done and being happy with it, like accepting my decision and not there, like no regrets about it, you know.
Right. Yeah, just don't get a tattoo that says no regrets. Okay, do me a favor.
Not even a letter.
So, all right. So, you know, it's funny because I was going to ask about this because, of course, Noah. Not only do I love going down there for the people, but just the culture and the food and the music and everything else. So quick rundown here. All right. I'm going to give you five and you got to get, it's your best. It's Cam Dolan's best of in New Orleans, right? All right. Best fine dining.
Kind of fine. Pesh.
Pesh. All right. Solid. Now you turned me on to, Giacomo's, and that was a solid choice, but not fine dining. But
was it me, or was that or was that Matt Harmon?
No, I think it was you. I don't think I got it from Harmon, but it worked out because we were staying down that way and
perfect.
All right, best cocktail lounge.
It's hard to go wrong with Sazerac.
I've heard
that. It's got good ambiance.
Okay. I like ambiance. All right, best po' boy.
Parkway,
I like that. All right. Now, I'm gonna ask a follow up to this one in a minute, but best beignet.
I mean, Café du Monde's good. Is it Morning Call? Morning Call, probably.
Okay, Morning Call. I'll get back to that one in a minute. Best, just you're a fisherman. I know you love the seafood. Best seafood joint.
Pesh.
All right, folks. If you get down in Orleans, sounds like you can't go wrong with Pesh. All right.
No, if you can get in.
If you can get in. Well, just mention this guy's name and you'll have no problem.
Yeah, get a week in advance.
Now, speaking of beignets, now another NOLA tradition is king cakes. And I know that you do something special. You and your wife, Ellen, do something special with the bakery goods. Why don't you tell everybody about it? Because there's a little side hustle going on down there in New Orleans.
Yeah. So her grandma has a recipe from her mother. So my wife's great grandma with rum cakes. And we decided this past holiday season that we were going to go to, you know, try to get in a local farmer's market. And we have that recipe from, I don't know, what would be the 40s or the 50s, I guess. Yeah, so we sell rum cakes. We sell full-size rum cakes and little mini rum cakes that are basically like the size of what you get at like Nothing Bundt Cake, maybe a little bit bigger. And right. You know, that's all we sell, just rum cakes. It's one recipe. No, nothing special on any of it. We either do nuts or no nuts. Those are the only two options you get.
I love that. So, and you can't like order these online, right? You got to go down.
You got to come down. You got to come to the farmer's market or reach out to me and come pick it up or drop it off local. If your order is big enough,
there you go. So I might have to have a mutual friend of ours pick one up and when they come up in November, for the All Blacks Ireland game, I might have to have Dan and Sheila bring them up. So we'll put it away and we'll have it just to maybe freeze them and have them just in time for Christmas right there.
There you go.
6 or 7 weeks away.
Have it for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good call too. I can't go wrong. All right. I'm thinking I might have to make that happen.
There you go.
All right. So as we close this out, I would be remiss if we didn't ask some kind of here and now rugby questions. So I'm going to throw a couple at you as we begin
Perfect.
To close this out. And we know Cam has to get to bed. He's got an early surgery in the morning. So I don't want to. He needs to be on his game. All right.
Old man now, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure he probably had the earlier bird special around the corner someplace at Algiers Point, you know, at some restaurant there. But I got to ask, did you have in New Orleans, obviously they're saying they're taking a hiatus next year in 2026, going to focus on growing youth rugby. Did you have any sense for what was kind of amiss, what was brewing down there with the organization, with the ownership?
No, I think it was pretty, it was an abrupt situation. I think it kind of hit everyone by surprise. I get it. I kind of get every team's, any team that's folded, you know, it's not a profitable entity at the moment. You know, the revenue, doesn't quite catch up to the expenses. Therefore you're going to have loss. I know what we just finished year 8, but it's business at the end of the day. I know people hate sometimes with sports. You say, well, it's business, but you know, when you lose money year after year, it's tough to keep biting that bullet.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of, it's funny. Every once in a while on social media, you have folks out there go, well, why is there, somebody asked the other day, why is there a team in New Orleans? It's like, well, because Tim Falcon is willing to put his money where his passion was, and he made the investment in it, right?
Yeah.
Well, why isn't there a team in Vancouver? Somebody should put a team the MLR should put a team in Vancouver. I'm like, dude, how many times the people that follow the league have to tell you the MLR has nothing to do with it? It's all about
a
passionate investor that's willing to, you know, suffer those losses and walk into that knowing that
and hope that they eventually make some gains one day.
Right, exactly. So it's important for people to be mindful of that. So on that note, just one more question with regard to NOLA, because I know you moved on to that new phase. If you were a betting man, and I know you played cards every once in a while, so you'll throw a penny or a shilling or two in the pot. NOLA says they'll be back in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put your money on no or yes?
My heart says yes. But it's tough to come into this league with a new team, because they're going to have to basically restart from scratch and do a new draft with different players. There's a possibility, yes, but it's going to be it'll be an uphill battle for sure.
Yeah, that's my guess. I mean, all that infrastructure that they put into place is no longer there. And I
have no inside knowledge. I don't have a clue. So this is me just, your guess is as good as mine. Let's put it that way.
Right. No, I understand. I think you're pretty happy with where you're at. I don't think you're looking in the rear view too much. You're looking forward.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that there's been any need for you to go and do your own, Zapruder investigation and find out what's going down there over at Shrine on the airline, so I get it. Moving forward, obviously you're stepping away from rugby, you've stepped away from the United States. A lot of people like yourselves, a lot of guys like yourself, Bryce Campbell, we had on last week. He's moved away from the pitch, moved away from the national team. You yourself, I expect that there's going to be some other guys that were right in that similar class of new caps. Back when, 67 caps ago, guys like Nate Osberger is 34. I don't know where Butch is at, just where he's at with his career, but you got to think there's going to be a lot of legends of the game that are stepping away. You watched the game last weekend against Canada. A lot of American fans were disheartened. Were you shocked or surprised by the result?
Yeah, it was definitely both. Thought Canada played with a lot of passion. Their game plan suited their talents. That's not to say the U.S. didn't play well in certain parts. They just didn't string it together for 80 minutes. It was a lot of it was bounce the ball and just small mistakes. Canada kicked the ball a lot and they were good under the high ball, and they put the U.S. in their own half and made them play a long field and made them be accurate with that facet of the game. And Canada won that battle on the day, and they operated a really good lineout as well. The lineout was, they stole a lot of ball and they won all their ball.
It's
test rugby. It's the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is going to win, whether that's missed tackles, lineout, scrum, drop balls, placement of kicks, little things like that.
It must have been frustrating to watch the lineout lose what I think four or five lineouts.
It was tough. They had a simple lineout and it worked for them. Like I said, they had their game plan set and they all committed to it and they came out victorious.
How about that Tyler Ardron? Four tries for an eight man?
Yeah, crazy. It's crazy. He had a good game. They brought back him and Olmstead with two guys with a lot of experience, and obviously, that helped them, win.
Yeah, paid some significant dividends. And then the women, did you have a chance to watch the women play England for that?
I watched the highlights. I watched the highlights. The English women team looked pretty they were just accurate and everything. They're clinical, I would say.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. I mean, that front row. I mean, I never would have thought our front row of Rogers, Trader, and Segapolu would get put back on roller skates. But man, that front row of England.
Well, and they just England played really well. They did the basics perfectly. They, you know, went out the back when they needed to. When they got in the wide edges, they straightened up, drawn pass, and they put their speedsters away.
Yeah. Speaking of speeds, at Ellie Khuldoon, they're 15. Oh, mm-hmm. Man,
yeah.
Fucking load, man. She's awesome. It's gonna be fun to watch England play, and I think they've lost one in the last 59 matches, so they're the favorite to win that World Cup. It'll be, you know, who do you think they're gonna end up playing in the final?
Oh, I have no idea. I gotta watch more stuff to get a grasp on it. But
okay,
it's always interesting watching the Women's World Cup. So, I mean, New Zealand's going to be strong. France usually has a good team. Australia's in the mix as well. So it'll be
interesting if Canada can repeat, you know, their performance.
Canada as well. Won a World Cup in the last, what they win a World Cup 10, 12 years ago? Or do they go to the final maybe? But yeah, they're, you know, there's some parity there. So it'll be interesting to see. And let's not count USA out. They had a bad game, but I don't think they're out of the mix, are they?
No, they're in a tough group. They're definitely not out of mix. They just have to play well. And I think it goes back to what you said. They have to play clinical, right? I think, you know, they had a nice 15, 20, 25 minutes against England. I think if they could have just kept that consistency, the yellow card didn't help at all. But if they could have kept the consistency throughout the game and just really forced England, you know, put the pressure on England, so to speak, just by keeping a tight score line, you know, because I'm sure England felt that they were gonna put on a performance, and you know with teams like that, the longer you keep the score line close, the more they get frustrated, and it creates some mental lapses and mental errors that play to your advantage. So they'll have to be doing that in the next couple of matches. But at any rate, Cam, I know you got to hit the hay. You got an early morning in the surgery tomorrow, with Stryker. But it's been a lot of fun to catch up with you on the Rugby Rant podcast. And again, you know, talk about what you're doing moving forward. Talk about, you know, your decisions, and just how you arrived at where you're at now. Of course, super happy with where you're at, not only in your personal life with your wonderful, beautiful wife, Ellen, and two wonderful fur children that you guys have working. But, you know, also just the start of a new and wonderful career. It's good to see it, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, man.
Yeah, and, you know, Cam's going to share with me a link to a guy in Alaska, a podcaster in Alaska that he spent some time with this summer doing some fishing up in Alaska. I'll put that in the comments below so you guys can check it out.
Perfect.
And see what he was up to this summer doing some fishing, because that's one of the things Cam likes to do when he's not working now. It's how he's going to spend, I imagine,
exactly.
A lot of time. A lot of his personal time. So it's good to see. Cam, thanks again, mate. It was awesome.
Yeah, of course.
Catching up with you. Everybody, keep coming back. We're going to continue with the content on the Rugby Rant podcast show. And of course, don't forget that November 1st, it's the rugby party here in Chicago, downtown at Reggie's. Huge bar venue area. It's going to start at 9 o'clock. The party's going to be going. $40 get you in the door, get you some drinks, get you some food. You can get a VIP table so you can watch all the action, the music. And of course, me and the big guy are going to be bringing some guests on for our first live show together in front of a huge crowd. Yeah, it should be awesome. We're going to have some MLR guys in there, some USA guys in there, sharing their stories, having a bit of a crack. It's going to be a lot of good fun. And then, of course, you don't worry. You can tie one on, and you can catch that bus, go down to Soldier Field, and then it'll bring you back to the party where you can carry it on through the night and have a good time with your family and friends. So check it out. Click the link below. Get yourself in the door and share the rugby party with Scott and myself and a few other friends. And I think we're going to have some NOLA friends coming up for this one. And we're going to have an awesome experience. You could probably get yourself a ticket if you made your way up here, Ken.
Perfect.
You might know somebody. So anyway, thanks again, folks, for sharing this time with us, with Cam Dolan. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart, Cam Dolan, for sharing his time with us. You know, he had to split time with McCarthy, but we won't watch that one. But at any rate, folks, we're doing what we do because we want to grow rugby one fan at a time. And everybody, we're going to see you at the next.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.